everyone. Welcome to the Voice of Social Sales. I'm your host, Chelsea Pites. A big thank you if you are a returning listener and subscriber. I appreciate you and thank you so much for returning. If this is your first time listening to the show, you're in the right place. If you want to learn all things real estate and social media, how to build a powerful personal and human brand, and generate leads through connection and community. Let's make sure that we're connected on the gram. I have a ton of free trainings on my IGTV channel and a free download from my book, What to Post. You can grab that on my Instagram profile link. And of course, I always offer a free Instagram bio audit. All you have to do is follow me and send me a message that you're coming from the show and you'd love to have your audit. So excited that you're here. Let's get into the show. Okay. And welcoming to the show a new guest that we've actually never met in person before and recently just got the opportunity to speak at a conference and I got to do an Instagram live with you as well. Welcome, Loida. Tell us who you are, how long you've been in the industry, and maybe what your niche or specialty is in the social media world.
Yeah. So I appreciate you having me, Chelsea. And just like you mentioned, we've never met in person, but I feel like we've already known each other for a long time.
Yes.
So yes, so my name is Loida Velasquez. I am in Southern California. I have been in real estate for about 6 years. Prior to getting into the business, I worked in marketing and advertising, and I did that for about 8 years. I absolutely loved what I did. I was traveling all over the country, doing events, promotions. I mean, I was living the dream. I was in my 20s, not married, no kids, everything getting paid for. However, it got to the point that I was living out of a suitcase from hotel to hotel, and I'm like, I don't want to keep doing this for the rest of my life. So I saw real estate as an opportunity for me to kind of leave that and do my own thing. I knew that it wasn't going to be easy, but I knew that if I was dedicated, committed, and consistent, eventually I would start to see the results. And eventually that's where it led me to where I am now. Now, when I first got into real estate, my very first year, all I did was door knocking. I also focus on cold calling.
You don't hear that very often anymore.
Yes, I know. It's crazy. Yeah. I started door knocking, and then I also focused on for sale by owners and expireds. And I knew that listings is the name of the game. So in order for me to go after those type of leads, I had to get good with my communication, my objection handling, knowing how to be able to talk to different personalities and having thick skin. So that's what I mostly focus on. That's how I build my business, going after those type of leads. And also when I got into real estate, I remember going on YouTube trying to see what people's experience of being a realtor were. And I wasn't seeing many women. I was always seeing the men, the older men, Mike Ferry. And I learned a lot of great things from all those gentlemen, but I wanted a woman's perspective. So that's what made me start creating content and videos on YouTube, just kind of putting out my journey so that people could see what I was going through, what I was learning, what was working, what wasn't working, how I was feeling. And I was very consistent with that. I was putting out a video every single week. I was filming it on my iPhone 6. I didn't have a fancy camera or lighting. I would just go outside and I would just talk into the phone. And I started to see that people were relating to what I was talking about. So when I saw that type of response, I just remained consistent. And over time, that is exactly how I grew my social media following on YouTube. Then that translated, and a lot of people started following me on Instagram, and pretty much the rest is history where we're now.
Wow. I love that. Okay. So I don't think I ever told you this story, but it probably was right about in the beginning of when you were maybe doing YouTube videos, but I came across you and I have no idea how I even found you on YouTube, but I remember thinking, oh my gosh, like I love this person and she's out here door knocking and teaching people to cold call. Like I thought it was so different from other content that I had seen. And so I still remember that. So even though I wasn't in the mindset of, you know, somebody who was an agent, it definitely stood out to me. And I love that you said you didn't have any equipment because I didn't have any equipment when I started doing videos. And I really don't prefer to use equipment. I just like to use my phone and maybe a ring light now, and that's about it. So now you mentioned you came from a marketing background. So I'm a little bit nervous that the listeners might be thinking, oh, okay, well, she was a marketing pro. Of course, you know, she knows all the ins and outs of the socials. So tell us the story about how you learned about YouTube. And I also want to talk about the types of content. My assumption is you tested out a whole bunch of stuff and found out what worked. And so I think some people are really, really uncertain about where to start with content that actually is going to generate some kind of result. So talk about your beginning and then also your content creation process.
Okay. So something that a lot of people assume is that I'm outgoing. I have always been doing videos. Even in my previous career, you probably were already like in front of a camera or doing something that where you're very outgoing. And I was quite the opposite. Growing up, I was the most shy person. I hated public speaking. I would be the last person in class to raise my hand. Group projects, group presentations, I would be terrified. And it was my very first job that I had in college that forced me to put myself out there. So I was doing promotions for a soft drink, and my job was just pretty much talking to people and giving them a soft drink at concerts, at events. And when I started doing that, I was like, this is easy and I'm getting paid for it and people are not mean or judging me or anything. I'm going to continue doing this. And that's when I switched my major. So I started in college with a sociology major thinking, you know, I want to work with people. But once I started that job, I transitioned into marketing and promotions. Now, when I was at the last places that I was working at, I was still kind of like a, I don't want to say like a shy person, but I was never really that outgoing or extroverted or like the life of the party. I'm more like, I'm gonna sit back and kind of see how people are. And then once I know how they are, then I'm gonna get friendly because I don't know, I might turn them off or whatever it is. So even now, even when I meet new people, sometimes they're like, oh, you're still really quiet. And that's just not how I am. It's just, I feel more comfortable being that way when I'm still getting to know someone. Mm-hmm. So now when I left that, I did learn a lot of things at the previous career where I was working at. And what's funny is that back then my job was looking for individuals that were putting themselves out there. And I would always think in my head, like, oh, that's so cool. Like I would love to eventually be there one day doing some type of thing, but it never crossed my mind. And when I was doing this, real estate was never an idea that I had. In fact, my whole perception of real estate was like cold calling and door knocking. Oh my gosh, that's so embarrassing. Like, how are people doing it? And now here I am like cold calling every day. So when I started creating content, once I did transition into real estate and I started to put my journey out there, I saw that people were relating to it in the sense that they were relating to my experience. So I figured I'm going to take that route of going the educational route and teaching others what to do and what not to do, because I was sharing my actual experience and what I was going through. I noticed that a lot of the videos that I would see from other coaches and trainers, it was more like do this, this, and this, and that's what's going to get you to where you want to go. But with me, it was more like, I'm doing this transaction. This is what I'm going through. This is what I'm dealing with. This is the outcome. This is the result. So it was more actual experience that people could see. Oh, like, even if you go to my videos now, you can see my very first for sale by owner live call where I was horrible. And you can see like the most recent for sale by owner call. And you can see the huge transformation in how far I have come all these years. So that's kind of how I structured the content that I started to create more towards real estate agents, because I saw that there was a need for it. I saw that I was attracting a lot of women also that kind of saw me as someone giving them a woman's perspective, because you didn't really see much of that back then. So I knew that if I was consistent, eventually video was the way to go. And now I have grown my platforms to where they are at, to the point that I get a lot of referrals from agents. I get also clients that find me online and just reach out. So it has facilitated my business and also has given me a lot more credibility in the industry.
Now, do you just have the one account or have you ventured into multiple accounts now? Are you just still in the one account?
I'm still in the one account.
Okay. I love that because I have one Instagram account. People are like, oh, you don't have multiple? I'm like, no.
Just one. I know.
Yeah.
And it would be so much to handle.
Now, not that subscriber count or follower count is truly what will drive business, because you got business before you're at where you're at now. But just so people who are listening, what is your around about your subscriber count on this channel?
On my YouTube channel right now, it's about 71,000 subscribers.
Ah, wow. That's amazing.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah, I hear numbers like that and I think, oh my gosh, that's like, so I can't even fathom. I mean, you probably don't remember the exact number, but how long did it take you before you started to see some ROI? Not necessarily a transaction, but maybe someone reached out, maybe that didn't progress into a transaction, maybe it did, but about how long do you think it took for you?
So after about a year and a half is when I hit 1,000 subscribers. Mm-hmm. And after that, because I was being consistent and the type of content that I was putting out was very popular, it just started to grow significantly. Mm-hmm. To the point that right now I'm averaging about 1,200 subscribers, new subscribers a month. Wow. So it was maybe after a year and a half, 2 years that I really had someone reach out and say, hey, I'm thinking about buying a home. Mm-hmm. It didn't really go anywhere, but that was the first time that I was like, wow, someone's reaching out because they saw a video of mine online.
And did you find that, did you do any testing? Like, and I don't mean like super scientific testing. I'm testing Instagram Reels right now, but certainly not doing it in the most scientific way. And, you know, you just kind of throw a whole bunch of things and see what happens. But did you start to find a pattern of this length seems to work well, or this type of intro works better than something else? What are some pro tips that you can draw from your own experience to pass on to the listeners about really how to maybe shortcut that learning phase and get into something that you know possibly is going to work a little bit better?
Yeah. So pretty much all of my videos were always between like 5 and 7 minutes in the beginning. Especially when you're starting out on YouTube, sometimes it feels like 10 minutes is an eternity for you to do a video. That's why my videos were about 5 to 7 minutes. I noticed that the how-to videos, the live cold calls, working with buyers, sellers, and things like that, those did very well. That's why in the beginning, you'll see that I have a lot of live expired cold call, live for sale by owner. And that's what really attracted a lot of agents. And once they subscribed to my channel and saw that I was still being consistent every week putting something out, then they knew, oh, Loida's always putting educational content that might help me. So for the audience that I have, which is real estate agents, the videos that do very well are the cold calls, the day in the life of a realtor, any objection handling stuff. I do that as well. For sale by owner stuff does very well as well. And yeah, that's pretty much what I have been doing.
That's awesome. I watched one of your live cold calls and I was nervous just watching and I wasn't even doing anything, which we're going to get into and talk about in regards to your strategies and tips for anyone who might be doing those three activities. Just to finish up on sort of the YouTube technical aspect of it, are there tools that you're recommending or strategies? I am definitely not super familiar with YouTube as somebody who's a content creator over there. So, you know, is it really about the keywords? Is it using thumbnails? Is it all of those things? Like, what are you seeing right now in 2021 that you would pay attention to if you are starting your YouTube channel or maybe deciding to go more all in on an existing channel you might have had?
Well, just like Instagram, the YouTube algorithm is always changing. What I have started to test and now really do consciously is that I make sure that I have tags that pertain specifically to my video. There is a Chrome extension. It's free or you can upgrade to it. It's called TubeBuddy. Mm-hmm. So the best way for you to get the best tags suggested by TubeBuddy is that when you upload your video onto YouTube, the next thing that you want to do is write a very detailed description on the description box. Then as you scroll down and you get to the tag section, that's when you turn on the TubeBuddy, and then it will automatically give you the tags that pertain to the topic of that video. And then from there, it kind of gives you a score as to the searchability. So the higher the number, if it's 60, 70, or 95, then that translates to the search engine optimization and you popping up to people that are searching certain keywords. So it can get a little tedious. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the title a tip and a trick that I would recommend for someone is that, let's say you're doing a video about cold calling, open a browser incognito mode and just go to the YouTube search bar and type in cold calling, real estate cold calling, and see what the most searched descriptions or subjects are, and kind of use that as a guide to name your video that way. That way your video pops up when people are searching that.
Okay. That's awesome. Yeah. I've heard about TubeBuddy, and I'll put a little link in the show notes about that too. Okay. So let's get into the topics of, since you are such an expert on cold calling and objection, overcoming objection. I am one of these people, and I've been very vulnerable and transparent about it. I have difficulty with rejection, and that definitely prevents me from putting myself out there. When I was an active realtor, I couldn't do it. I really could not do it. I just couldn't bring myself to do it. So how do you coach people who have an innate human fear of rejection?
Yeah. And I felt the same way when I first started as well. And what made the switch for me to feel more confident, whether it was on the phone or at the door, is that I remember writing down a list of all of the great things that would happen because I cold called. So for example, one of the things is that all I need is a yes, and then I'm going to make minimum $10,000. And all I have to do is pick up the phone. Another thing is that if I mess up, if I say something wrong over the phone, chances are I'm never going to see that person ever in my life. So it doesn't matter, because I just move on from there. And when I started telling myself that, it's kind of like I'm building up that courage to get over that fear to pick up the phone. I remember bringing brand new and picking up my cell phone and putting in the phone number of the for sale by owner that I was about to call, but it would take me almost like 5 minutes to just press that send button. And I was like, no, I got to do it.
Yeah.
So then what I do now, I mean, sometimes I still get nervous, but I just like do it. I'm like, I'm just going to do it. And then once it's dialing, it's like, I got to talk now. So we'll see what happens. But also, another thing that I want to say is, you know, you have to be focused on what your why is. Why are you doing this? Because if that is a very strong reason for you to be in the business to succeed, then even if you're scared, even if you're nervous, you're gonna do whatever it takes, because it might mean you getting a paycheck to help your family, to help others. I mean, for you to change your life. So if it's that important to you, you're gonna figure out a way to overcome your fears.
And your cold calling specifically expireds and FSBOs, is that right? And still,
yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah. So give us some of your magic scripting. What are I remember you saying that you still have your first video, which, by the way, I love that you have this storyline, this arc of you and your growth, because I really do feel that people want to be able to see that journey. So when you first started, it wasn't great. and so how have you developed something that feels human, that doesn't feel overly salesy, and connects with people? That's difficult, especially when you're a little bit nervous, possibly. So tell us some of your tricks of the trade.
Yeah. So it's definitely have been pretty much me learning communication, learning personalities, role playing, studying objection handling, and then eventually making it my own, that has allowed me to get to where I'm at and just become very good on the phone. So it didn't happen overnight. Just like you said, you can go back and see how horrible it was. But what I really wanted to do, and ultimately for anyone that's listening, we can all have the same script, but it's not going to sound the same and it's not going to get the same results. So for me, once I started to incorporate role playing, that really helped give me confidence, because I knew that it happened many times that after I was done with my role play session, I had the exact same scenario with a for sale by owner or expired. And I already had what I was going to say. It was like at the tip of my tongue. And I was almost smiling and had a smirk in my face as these people are throwing me objections, because I knew what I was going to say. I had been practicing it for so long, and I did role playing consistently every single day. That gave me the confidence. Having scripts, having a guide of what to say, once I had those memorized, then I started to tweak them and make them my own with my personality and my style and the way that I talk. Tonality is a big thing. we start to get more specific into like NLP and sales tactics and things like that. So it's a combination of a lot of things. It's not going to happen overnight, but with practice, with you working on your communication, knowing the different personalities, knowing how to talk to a driver versus an expressive, that's really what's going to help you be able to be successful over the phone with whoever it is that you're talking to.
Absolutely. It does take so much practice, but just like anything else, you know,
exactly.
It all takes practice, whether it's posting on Instagram or making videos or cold calling. Now, I don't know if you've read this book. I've had Chris Smith on my show before, and he's written several books, but this one is Exactly What to Say for Real Estate Agents. And there's a lot of really great, I would say maybe not even script is the right word. It's like starts, like ideas and scenarios. Yeah. And for me, I like scenarios. It's kind of like role-playing. So you can see that, okay, this could really happen. That's a great book. So I'll have to put that in the show notes too. But if you haven't checked that book out, you probably really like it. Okay. Yes. So let's shift to Instagram, which, you know, is my favorite place to hang out in. Yeah. What's your current strategy for Instagram? You're doing a lot of Instagram Live, which I need to get much better at. I need to do that. I am not an Instagram Live person and I've fallen behind on that. So what is your current strategy on the gram?
So I am posting minimum 3 posts a week, like actual, like static posts, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I try to do stories every single day. Last year, I started the Wonder Woman Wednesday series going live on Instagram. And I started that right when the pandemic hit and everything shut down. I was like, what can I do to make sure that I'm staying in front of people so that they know I'm a real estate agent and I'm still working, even though everyone's kind of freaking out? I had never done lives when I started that. I'm very good at doing YouTube videos. I have thousands of people that follow me, but for some reason, going live still makes me nervous and terrifies me a little bit because I don't know who I was telling, but I was saying, you know, I'm not sure if I'm going to stumble over my words or if I'm going to say something wrong, but I just got to do it. So I started that last year, every Wednesday, just going live featuring women in all type of businesses. That's something that I brought back again this year that I'm doing consistently, but this year I'm focusing mostly just real estate. Last year, it was kind of all over the place, music, whatever it was, very successful women in their respective fields. So that's what I'm doing now. I'm doing a lot more reels. I love to watch you for inspiration. And I'm like, she's so good. Like, do I need to be dancing or like, well, what do I have to do?
I really don't know what I'm doing. I've just dedicated myself to just throwing it all against the wall and seeing what it works. And it just happens to be documented.
Yeah. So the reels is something that I want to be doing a lot more of just because it is new and Instagram is pushing that. So I've been incorporating that by posting maybe properties or coming soon. And again, the whole intention is of me staying on top of people's minds so that they know that I'm a real estate agent. If they need anything buying or selling, I'm their girl without telling them, hey, are you looking to buy or sell? Like, reach out. And I have gotten a few people reach out from my reels and say, hey, you know, I'm thinking about buying, or hey, how much is this? So it just makes things so much easier. And at the end of the day, it's all about marketing ourselves. Like, our people have to know that you're active, that you're working, and that you're able to help them at any time. So that's kind of what I'm doing on Instagram. I'm just trying to be consistent as much as I can because it can get overwhelming having a lot of different platforms and what am I going to post when and how am I going to edit it and coming up with ideas.
Are you doing all of your own social media? Do you have someone to help you or are a team, or do you really want to be the person or have chosen to be that person? There's no right answer. I'm personally thinking about like, how can I start outsourcing some of my editing?
Yeah.
But I'm just curious because you are so busy. And then my last question is, I want to know, don't have to give me exact numbers. What kind of percentage are we looking at as far as social media brings in, you know, how much of your business? And I know that obviously you're doing this lead generation. So I'm curious to know as they compare, which one is bigger or if they're equal. So start with the first question of, are you doing this all yourself?
Okay. No, so I'm not doing it all myself. I was doing everything myself. As of earlier this year, I finally got a videographer and an editor. So he's the one that handles all of that. Prior to that, all of these past few years, I did everything on my own. I feel like I like how I do things, and I prefer to do it and do it how I like it and then post it. But it got to the point that it's just very time consuming. And I would do my real estate work during the day. And then at night, it's like I'm editing. Then I go to sleep like 11, 12. And then it's like, I want to have a life too and spend time just like relaxing. So I do have a videographer. He edits the videos. He gives me the videos. Sometimes he also gives me clips for Instagram and Reels. So I have all of that that is already done. And then for Instagram, I have a content calendar. That way I have an idea of what I'm going to be posting. And then usually every other week, I kind of like to have all of the content ready. That way, once the day comes, I know exactly what I'm going to post. Depending on where I'm at, or if I just got a new listing or I'm touring a property, I'll take advantage of maybe recording some videos that I can later use to create reels. But pretty much that's how that's going.
Got it. I think that's smart. I definitely need help with like editing and all of those things, because you're right. It does become overwhelming when you have all these different platforms and platforms within platforms and different micro content and macro, all the things. So thank you for being honest about that. And I think it's a really smart idea. And I think, you know, I haven't done it yet. I'm in the process of doing that. And I'm going to say that you probably did it and said, why didn't I do this sooner?
Yeah. It freed up so much more of my time.
Yes, exactly. I totally agree with that. And now I'm trying to remember, what was my second question?
How my social media and my lead generation.
Thank you. I was like, wait a minute. I know I had another question. What percentage would you say of your business is coming or generated from your social media presence, whether it's YouTube or Instagram or anything like that, and then versus that you're generating through your lead generation outreach on a daily basis?
Probably from social media, I would say maybe 70%. And then from lead generation, like 30.
Wow. Amazing.
Right now I get a lot of agent-to-agent referrals. So that's how it has helped through social media from YouTube. Since most of my audience are realtors, I get a lot of referrals, but I'm still doing my cold calls and expireds, especially the first of the month and 31st. That's when all of the expireds come on the market. So then what I have noticed is that a lot of the expireds and people that I have converted just through lead generation, they have gone on to follow me on social media, and then they end up sending me referral business. But that's kind of how it is.
I love that. I mean, I was hoping you were going to say a lot of it was coming from social media, but yeah. I wasn't expecting that much. So I think it's really interesting to always ask people sort of how they're getting their business and if social media is working. And so I think especially after last year, mm-hmm. when we all were forced to go fully digital, it was really an important place to show up and be top of mind, because that was the only way we were seeing people. So I'm excited for everyone to follow you. They probably already follow your YouTube account, but follow Loida's YouTube, connect with her on the socials. Where can people find you? I want to make sure that we give them all the information. I'm going to put it in the show notes, but where would you prefer people go if they're wanting to connect with you?
Probably Instagram would be the easiest way. Just send me a message.
Okay. And they'll just find you by your name on the gram. I'll put a link right into the show notes. Thank you so much. This was so fun to finally connect.
I know.
Finally do a podcast together. I feel like I've been watching you for years. And so it's really lovely to finally connect with you. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yes. Thank you for having me. And we're definitely going to have you on a Wednesday for my Wonder Woman Wednesday. We did one. And it was a Reels live that we did, but that was not a Wednesday, but you're a Wonder Woman, so we're going to have it.
Thank you. I'm so honored. I would love to. So I will try to live up to that title. But for everyone who's listening, thanks for tuning in. Make sure you go follow Loida, and we'll see you next time. Bye, everyone.